Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. This is program number 429. If you'd like to have a copy of it, Sharon will tell you how at the end of the program. It's absolutely free, including postage and handling. We have some great music. We've got a tremendous message and some testimonies, but right now let's go to the throne of the Lord to ask Him to dominate, take over this entire program. Father, take over the program. Your Spirit, let pray, Lord, that You open the hearts and souls of everyone out in Radio Land, whether they're saved or not, and save the souls and strengthen the church. I pray in Jesus' mighty name, and everyone says Amen.
Amen.
All right, now we've been reading from the book of Judges, and just before that we had the book of Joshua. Now, there are so many archaeologists that have gone and found so many different sites in Israel of to prove God is to prove that all these things happen. God has left the availability of these things to be found, and they are found, and you know, we should be able to just trust the Word of God, but so many people haven't. They got to look it up and see, and, you know, it helps a lot of people, so praise the Lord for it. Right now, here I am with J.D. Sumner in the Stamps Quartet to sing Joshua 5th, the Battle of Jericho. It really happened. They found it.
Joshua 5th, the battle around Jericho, around Jericho. Jericho, well, Joshua fit the battle around Jericho, and the walls come tumbling down, God knows that. Joshua fit the battle around Jericho, around Jericho, Jericho, well, Joshua fit the battle around Jericho, and the walls come tumbling down. Good morning, Sister Mary, good morning, Brother John. Well, I want to stop and talk with you and tell you how I come along. I know you've heard about Joshua, he was the son of Nun. He never stopped his work until, well, until his work was done. God knows that Joshua fit the battle around Jericho, Jericho, Jericho. Well, Joshua fit the battle around Jericho when the walls come tumbling down. You may talk about your men of Gideon, you may brag about the men of Saul, but there's none like Joshua at the battle of Jericho. Up to the walls of Jericho, he marched with spear in hand. Go blow the ramp, Joshua cried, cause the battle and men behind. God knows that Joshua fit the battle around Jericho, Jericho, Jericho. Well, Joshua fit the battle around Jericho when the walls come tumbling down. You may talk about your men of Gideon, you may brag about the king of Saul, but there's none like Joshua at the battle of Jericho. Well, they tell me that young the Joshua spear was a well not 12 long, and upon his hip was a double-edged sword, and his mouth was a gospel horn. Yet bold and brave, he stood salvation in his hand. Go broke and ran home, Joshua threatened, cause the devil can't do you no harm. God knows that Joshua beat the battle around Jericho, around Jericho, Jericho. Well, Joshua beat the battle around Jericho, where the walls come tumbling down. Up to the walls of Jericho, he marched with spear in hand. Go blow and ran home, Joshua cried, cause the battle can't do you no harm. Then the lamb, ram, sheep, horns begin to blow, the trumpets begin to sound. Then Joshua shouted, glory, and the walls came tumbling down. God knows that Joshua beat the battle around Jericho, Jericho, Jericho. Well, Joshua beat the battle around Jericho, and the walls came tumbling down.
Yeah, the walls came tumbling down. Wow. Yeah, that really moves, that one. We recorded that at Johnny Cash's studio out in Hendersonville, the House of Cash, it was called. I talked to Johnny's brother. I've never met Johnny Cash, but I met his brother. He's a real estate agent. He's showing me around Nashville with all the different, for new houses and things out there. And he sold that property. I would have loved to have gotten that property and made a church out of it. Okay, Christ has two natures. And if you're born again of the Spirit, you have two natures too. You have Christ had the divine nature and the human nature. Christ's human nature is called his humanity. According to the flesh, Christ is out of the seed of David to be the Son of Man. Now Romans 1 chapter 1 verse 3 and John chapter 3 verse 14 tells us that he is a figure, a type, or a symbol, typified by the bronze serpent that Moses raised up in the wilderness when a bunch of snakes, because of their disobedience to the Lord, the Hebrew children were confronted with a lot of serpents, and they were biting them and killing the Jews. Numbers chapter 21, verses 4 and 9. He's bearing the likeness of the serpent, the likeness of sin in the flesh. That's what Jesus came to the world as, to be made sin for us who had no sin. Now the reason, because our sins are were so bad, and today have been magnified so much, that the Savior, God himself, had to come to this world in the flesh, in human flesh, in order to be sin for us. He stated that he was like the serpent that Moses raised up. Now, he's the serpent, but he doesn't have any poison, venom in him whatsoever. He became, we're the poison venom, and he let all that poison in us, the sin in us, the venom in us, come upon him to pay the penalty for all of our sins. He had no poison of the serpent. That's in Romans 8. Can you find that real fast for Romans 8, 3? Now, related, he is related to sin, Satan, and the world, but without any poison in him. Read it, Romans 8, 3.
For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh.
The Lord could not, the law could not save our soul, all right, because it's weak. All it does is tell us how sinful we are, how poisonous we are, because so therefore it's weak to save us. The law is weak to save, but it's powerful to condemn us. Okay, then what?
God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh.
He condemned sin. Okay, our former sins, he, if we come to him, he washes all of those former sins of ours away and drowns them in the sea of his forgetfulness, and he never remembers against us anymore. So long as we continue on, he puts the power, his power in us. When we give our lives to the Lord, that means our life. We no longer have any life of our own, because he paid the price for us in order to get into the kingdom of heaven. And therefore, we come to him for salvation. We come to the cross, and he has shed this blood already. And when they pierced him in the side, blood came out in water. Now the water, the blood washes away the sin, and this is in the Old Testament and the New Testament called the water of separation. That separates us from sin. If you fall back into sin, the Bible tells us that we then take on seven more devils, worse than the one that was cast out of us in the first place. So we really, if we've sinned ignorantly, well, then we can be forgiven. But we must keep the commandments. We must continue in Christ when we he buys us. We belong to him. We no longer belong to ourselves. So he's related to sin, Satan, and the world for us, because we are before we're saved, we are sin, Satan, the world, the flesh. Now that's 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 21. Hebrews 2, verse 14, and John, the book of John, in the New Testament, chapter 12, 31. There's no schism in the Old and New Testament. It tells the same thing. The only thing that is ended in the Old Testament is that we don't do animal sacrifices anymore. They were a temporary thing that we did, or the people of Israel did, until the real sacrifice came. Christ was that sacrifice. He was that serpent without poison or venom in him. Christ's divine nature. Now, that's another story. That means it's his divinity, according to the Spirit. This is the Holy Spirit of holiness. Christ is designated by God to be the Son of God. Not only is he designated by God to be the Son of God, but he's also designated by the Bible, the Word of God, to be the Son of Man, because he's the seed of David, King David, or the Psalmist David. Now that's the Son of God is Romans 1:4. You're right there anyway, aren't you?
Yes.
Read that. He is the Son of God. That's the spirit, spiritual nature of Christ. Read it.
And declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead.
Okay. Yeah, now, in power, that's according to the Holy Spirit and in his power. Now, all power in heaven and on earth belongs to the Lord. He's designated to be the Son of God because he came out of the world by resurrection. Amen?
Amen.
And that's how we become sons of God, is when we become resurrected out of our sinful life by the power of God that's in Christ. When we come to Christ, he washes us in his blood, and then we become baptized, and the water that came from his side is the water of separation that separates us from sin, Satan, the world, our flesh, and the power of God in us mortifies the deeds of the flesh. The triune God embodied came into, walked, and was begotten, had begotten Christ, the man. John 11:25. The triune God embodied was in Christ, the man. That's why he was able to get into the kingdom of heaven. He was the first person that was human, that was able to be resurrected into the kingdom of heaven by the power of God. Read it. John 11:25.
Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live.
Right. That is, if you're dead, then you can live unto the Holy Spirit. But if you commit sin again, then of course you, according to the law, you become condemned. The Lord delivered us from sin, Satan, the world, the flesh. Amen?
Amen.
That's John 11:25. Now Christ's death is in 1 Peter 3:18.
For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit.
Now Christ has become the quickening Spirit, or the life-giving Spirit. When he enters into us, we have his life with the Father's life, and by the Holy Spirit life. He died for the sins. His death was caused by our sins, your sins and my sins. And so therefore the Lord became, he had to be, the righteousness of God on behalf of the unrighteous. So if he remained righteous, then God says, look, somebody's going to have to pay for all their sins down there. They're all going to hell unless you come down to earth and become the Son of Man. And also, of course, the Son of God. The unrighteous person, and if you'll die for them, then you will be bringing many, many souls into the kingdom of heaven with you. They will be sons of mine also. That he might bring his believers to God right up in heaven. Amen. Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
On the one hand, he's crucified in the flesh, and on the other hand, he's made alive through the Holy Spirit. In this Holy Spirit, Christ went and proclaimed to the fallen angels in prison. And he was proclaiming that for sure. Those angels that fell from heaven. He said, okay, the Satan stated that when Jesus comes to the world in the flesh, that he will not be able to resist sin. Because he says, look at those first two innocent people. He says, I made them fall. And when the Son of God comes to the world in the flesh, he will not be able to withstand my temptations. And so he said, you'll see, the flesh is weak. And I am going to rule the entire universe from now on. But what he didn't realize is that this is the first God-man. Now, God came in the flesh, and God's power is more powerful than the flesh. That's why people must trust God to give them God's power in them, in the flesh, just as God gave Jesus the power to resist Satan, sin, the flesh, the world, death, hell, and the grave. Do you catch that?
Yes.
You understand that. And he was proclaiming for sure the victory of God over Satan, who was their leader. Through the incarnation of God in Christ, in other words, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit was in this man, this Son of Man, this Christ. In Christ's death, in the flesh, he was there as well. 1 Peter 3:19. This message here is to make everything crystal clear of God living in Christ. The Holy Spirit living in this Son of Man, this Christ, and will live in you as well, giving you more than enough power. This is why the Bible says that we become more than conquerors if we're in Christ Jesus, if we stay in the Word, and if Christ be in us. If God be with us, who can be against us? Amen?
Amen.
And that's why I love the book of Judges and the whole Bible so much, is because it shows us that if we allow God, Christ with his Father, God, and the Holy God, the Holy Spirit to live in us, then there is nothing we can... we have everything that we need there. Now, we're going to read from the chapter 7 in the book of Deuteronomy. And these promises that are in that chapter should give you faith enough. And it should make you feel that salvation is worthwhile enough. And whatever you have to go through in this world, worthwhile enough to be able to reap all the benefits that are mentioned in this chapter in the book of Deuteronomy. And then on top of all these things here on earth, we get to be in heaven forever and ever. This is billions and trillions of years. And to be able to escape billions and trillions of years in the lake of fire is an eternity. And it just isn't worth anything that there is in this world to deprive ourselves from the things that the Lord has come into the world to give us eternally, and in this world as well. The designation of Christ's humanity, as we just read, is in Romans 1:4. Christ's humanity, the flesh, was not divine, but it was human. He was no different than anybody. You say, well, he was begotten by the Holy Spirit. So are you, if you accept Christ.
Amen.
You become a son of God. The Holy Spirit enters into you, and you have the same power, Jesus said, as he had. He said that even greater things would you do. Amen?
Amen.
In his resurrection, his humanity was designated into resurrection. Uplifting him into his divinity, that is, into his divine glory. That's John 12:23, Luke 24:26. By the Holy Spirit of holiness, in the divine power, out of resurrection, which is the triune God. When God was in him, that means that God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit was in this human body. And because he did everything that God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit gave him the power to do, in other words, all three were embodied in Christ, all three are one, to be the Son of God, this means that he was born of God in his resurrection. I mean, he was born, begotten into Mary, as she was acted as an incubator for him, and then he was born of God, the first begotten of the Father, when he resurrected from the dead. Amen?
Amen.
And then God allowed him to ascend into the kingdom of heaven in the view of over 500 witnesses. Amen?
Amen.
Acts 13:33. Go ahead, read it.
God hath fulfilled the same unto us, their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again, as it is also written in the second Psalm, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee.
Right, this day has he begotten him, to be the firstborn son of God. Now that means if he's the firstborn, that there are others going to be born as well. Amen?
Amen.
That's what it means. If we were born once into this world by our mother and dad, but we must, in order to enter the kingdom of heaven, be born again, so that he can have, we can be among his many brothers, the many sons of God, Romans 8:29. We actually become a son of God by the virtue of God, the Father, the Son, by Christ, who is the fullness of the Godhead bodily living within us. Read it, Romans 8:29.
For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren.
Many brethren, that means he's not the only brother, son. Yeah, he's not the only son. His redeemed believers were born, regenerated with him the same in the same resurrection. That's 1 Peter 1:3, Ephesians 2:6. The two statutes from Christ's sonship. The only begotten Son of God at that time, John 1:18, possessing the divine nature, which is divinity, from eternity to eternity, Psalms 90, verse 2. In other words, he was in eternity, he came to the world, and then he went back into eternity. Amen?
Amen.
Psalms 90, verse 2, Romans 9:5, as the second in the divine Trinity, Matthew 28, verse 19. Okay, well, so we'll see now, just as it says in the book of Judges, if you do this, I will bless you. Nothing, there's no disease that will come upon you. Have you got diseases or your loved ones? Well, if you were doing the will of the Lord, it's so easy, but you don't trust God. And that's the big problem in this world today, is people don't trust the Lord. How could you not trust God who made the whole world and he's holding it up by his word? This world is heavy. It's very hard for, I don't know of any man that can lift up a car, not the size of a Cadillac, or that can pick up a truck and hold it forever. Amen?
Amen.
But the Lord is holding up many trucks and buses and buildings and humans. And the world itself and all the water in the world. Think about it. You can't trust him? What's the matter with you? Okay, read some from the chapter 7 in the book of Deuteronomy. And listen to these promises. These promises are for all those that do what he says. And he gives us the power to do it. I mean, that's the killer. Amen? That's the killer. Okay, go ahead.
When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and hath cast out many nations before thee.
So the Lord cast out nations right in front of everybody. It's a history. It's in the history books.
Amen.
He destroyed Egypt. Those Jews didn't have any weapons. He just moved them over to the side and says, okay, stand out of the way because I'm going to rack these people up. Amen?
Amen.
I'm going to jack them up. And he says he'll do the same for anybody. That's why I was warning the people. Not because of me, but because for yourselves. I warn you, don't come up against the people of the Lord. The ones that are keeping his commandment. Now, a lot of people claim that they're the people of the Lord. Well, you'll see who. You just wait and see, and you'll find out who really is. We're the ones that warn you to back off, Los Angeles. Back off, Rome. Back off everybody else that's got something going against us. Because you're just hurting yourself. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, keep going.
The Hittites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Seven nations greater and mightier than thou.
He says he ran them off.
Amen.
He destroyed them. Amen. God did. And he destroyed Egypt. And he destroyed so many different people because of the people of God. But he said, if you don't do what I say, I'll turn you over to the Nazis. Amen?
Amen.
And he says, you know, like you don't want that to happen to you, then keep my commandments and live. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor shall...
Don't make any promise with them. Don't make any contract with them. Don't strike hands with them and say, okay, let's make a deal. Because if you do that, I'm going to have them kill you. All right? So I'm telling you to drive them out. But did they know? And there's still a thorn in the side of Israel. Now they're over there still killing the Israelites. Go ahead. Then what?
Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son.
Don't do that. You're not to be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
For they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods.
Right, so, that's what those females did. Even Solomon, as powerful as he was, doesn't make any difference. You cannot disobey God. When you do, you're going to pay for it. And so he paid for it. All right. And so did David did everything good except the time where he committed adultery. And he sent the husband of Bathsheba or Bathsheba to the front lines and killed him. He knew for sure he'd be killed, Uriah. All right. You can't take somebody else's wife, or you can't have sexual relationships with anyone else's wife. If you do, you're destroying your own soul, and you have no power or promise from God but destruction. The promise that he gives you is he'll destroy you. Then what?
so will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you.
See, he says right there, he's promising, my anger will be kindled against you, and then what?
And destroy thee suddenly.
He'll destroy you suddenly. You're going to be destroyed, and it'll be sudden. You won't expect it. He'll come as a thief in the night. Then what?
But thus shall ye deal with them. Ye shall destroy their altars, and break down their images, and cut down their groves, and burn their graven images with fire.
Who will do that today? Here's this big temple right there in the midst. Of course, now we can't use carnal weapons. People do it, but to their own destruction. Amen?
Amen.
Our weapons of warfare, and we've maintained this ever since the ministry is open, is our weapons of warfare are spiritual, to the pulling down of strongholds. The gospel needs to be preached, and the Jews need to come back to the Lord and accept their Messiah, which is Jesus. And then when they do, God's going to start blessing them, and you can destroy the enemy by preaching the gospel to them. Amen?
Amen.
Because they were believing all these different isms, Catholicism and all that. I just see these Catholics and the Muslims in there, which is a division of the Catholic cult. Okay? And as I told you before, the Catholic cult keeps saying that they were the first church. They never have been a church, really, you know?
Amen.
Because in some points they have copied the old Jewish religion. They use candles and bells, and they didn't know that stuff. These are a bunch of political people that are in their playing church. It's like, you know, where little kids play house. Well, these people are playing church and they're playing government when they know that God rules governments and he'll only let you go so far. So the purpose that I have for telling you the different things that actually happened in the past, so far as who was the first church, first of all, Christ was in the Garden of Eden. Amen?
Amen.
So Christianity, Christ is the one that created the heavens and the earth and the fullness thereof. And it was everything was made by him and was made for him. And so how do you raise up some other phony religion and make people believe that and kill people if they won't join your ridiculous anti-Christ religion? There's so much fallacy going on in this world. It's been going on for years. This is for you to know that even before what they call the Reformation, which the liars, say was led by Martin Luther, revival has been going on right here in the book of Deuteronomy. Amen?
Amen.
Here's the revival. He's telling them how to revive the people over there. He led the Jews, a bunch of slaves, into the into what now is the Holy Land, which is Israel. Not Palestine. God never called it Palestine. He calls it Israel. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, keep reading.
For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God.
Yeah, so you're holy. We don't have to bow down before some phony religion. Amen?
Amen.
Lutheran religion is all back into Catholicism again. When I was in prison, I was in this chapel and I heard this Lutheran. I thought, well, I'm going to hear maybe a service in here. And I stood right up and said, what you're saying, sir, is lies, okay? Right out of the pit of hell. And he told me, he says, and there was a lot of people in there. He said, well, if I was you and I thought that you were hearing a pack of lies in here, I think I'd go to another church. And I said, a lot of people asked me to come here tonight because they wanted me to rebuke you. And I have, and I said, don't expect me back because I don't like listening to lies. If these people want to, then fine. And the chaplain in a prison has the same authority as a captain. That's what it is. The Vatican actually sent me letters saying they wanted me to be a chaplain in the Navy. I said, are you sure you sent this to the right guy? You guys know better than that. So Luther was he was and still is. It's all back to Catholicism again. Even during the time that the Bible was locked up by the Roman Catholic Church for 1,000 years, there were still many raised up by the Lord, not just Martin Luther. Luther knew the Bible because it was locked up in the Catholic Church. Cult. They call it the church. I sometimes slip. Forgive me for that. To know the Bible. And there are several other priests and hierarchy that have fallen away from the Vatican because they can plainly see that the things that they're doing are antichrist. They're not at all of the Bible. That's why the Roman Catholic cult locked it up, the Bible, for so many years. By this, we're able to see that there were three different periods from the apostles, which were the first church. I actually say the Garden of Eden, where Christ, the tree of life, was, is the first church. Christ is the first church. He's God. And you people need to realize that. Everything else is fallacy. So the apostles, to where we had what they call the Council of Nicaea, which happened in 325 after the death of Christ. 325 years after the death of Christ. But again, the Catholic cult was not formed until 590 years after the death of Christ. Well, let's continue on with Deuteronomy.
The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself, above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people.
No, it doesn't make any difference. You can be the weakest person on the face of the earth, but if God calls you, and you've got the power of God in you, and you've got all the promises of God, and you're doing what God says by the power of Christ, God in Christ in you, there's no one can stop you, okay?
Amen.
Remember, now, Samson was really overthrowing all the people in that land that he'd been called to overthrow. And the only thing that stopped him was he broke covenant with God. And then at the end, he got back to the Lord. Okay, keep going.
For ye were the fewest of all people.
Yeah, so you don't have to be the most in number. As a matter of fact, he had Gideon dwindle down a huge army to 300 men. Amen?
Amen.
He says, you know, like, God said if I let all you people go to fight this battle, you might start thinking that you did it on your own, but I just only want 300 people going, 300 men. And it was against thousands of others. And they won. Amen.
Amen.
Samson won. And he won in the end, even though he had to die. And remember, if you go against God, you're going against yourself. Because God is not going to lose. You're going to lose.
Amen.
All right? Okay, keep going.
But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he hath sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt.
So you're the weakest, and you're the least. There's not many of you. And yet I've smashed all these nations for you. And they're scared to death of you. And I'm telling you, Los Angeles, and you Vaticanites all over the world, beware. Beware. Stop what you're doing. Repent and be saved. Look, love your soul. I'm trying to get you saved. And God will start destroying you if you don't pay attention to what I'm saying. Okay, now keep going. What verse is this?
Verse 9.
Okay, keep going.
Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations.
Right, so listen, you know, like God is truthful. We have to trust God because God went through an awful lot in this world for us. Amen?
Amen.
He resurrected through his ascension into heaven, and we know that because 500 people saw it. They were witnesses. So he's coming back from eternity again. Amen?
Amen.
Now you can find that in Acts 13:33, Matthew 26:64, Acts 7:25, 7:55 through 56, and Revelation 1:13.
And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot.
The Son of Man. Okay, so we actually have a human in the kingdom of heaven.
Amen.
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 He's the Son of Man. It doesn't say that he's the Son of God right there. It calls him the Son of Man. This is why his body actually was changed into an ecclesiastical body, a man, and he went right up into the kingdom of heaven, and that's where he is right now. One of us. But also remember that he has the Trinity in him as well. Not only is he the Son of Man, but he also, remember, is the Son of God. And you can be the Son of God if you will listen to what he has to say. And you can have all these blessings, and all the curses will come off of you immediately. I don't care what kind of a disease you have, the Lord will heal you. We get calls all the time. I pray for people, and also people in the church pray for them. And they are healed.
Amen.
Completely healed. Now keep going. What verse is this now?
Verse 10. And repayeth them that hate him to their face to destroy them. He will not be slack to him that hateth
him. No, read the beginning of that.
Verse 9. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God.
Yeah, he's God. You're not God. The Pope is not God. Nobody's God but God. Amen?
Amen.
God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they're all one. Know this, that he is God. And you're going to have to face him whether you want to or not. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
He is God, the faithful God, which keepeth...
Yeah, he's faithful. He's not a liar. He can't lie. Satan can't do anything else but lie. All these false religions can't do anything else but lie. They can tell you they're going to kill you, and they can kill you. But don't fear him who can kill the body, but fear him who can kill your body and sling your soul into hell in the lake of fire. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, go ahead.
He is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him.
In other words, he keeps promises with you. If he promised, if you accept Christ, he keeps the promise with you. You will be saved and you will have power in you. And all the blessings belong to you. He'll heal you. And he'll heal your loved ones if they receive him. Okay, then what?
He is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy.
Covenant means promise. Keep going.
With them that love him and keep his commandments.
Yeah, but you must love him and keep his commandments. That's the contingency. You can't just say, I believe in Jesus. Jesus, my friend, is the whole Word of God. Okay?
Amen.
The Bible says that he is the Word. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh. He became the Son of Man with God in him. He had the divine nature, and he had the human nature, okay? Now, all of us just had the human nature, and we can possess the divine nature if we follow his instructions. To come to the cross and let his divine nature enter us. Ask him into you. Okay, what verse is this now?
I'm still in the middle of verse 9.
Okay, keep going.
Which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments.
Covenant, instead of using the word covenant, he keeps the deal that he makes with you. He keeps the contract, the promise, the covenant, the promise, the deal. He makes a deal with you, and God doesn't break the deal, the contract. He signs the contract in the blood of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
which keepeth the deal, the contract, the promise,
the covenant. Okay, then what?
And mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations, and repayeth them that hate him to their face to destroy them.
Yeah, he'll destroy you if you hate him. You say, well, I don't like taking orders from anybody, not even God. Listen, you, God doesn't like taking your mouth either, all right?
Amen.
And God is promising that he'll destroy you, okay? He makes that deal. I'll kill you. I'll destroy you if you attack my people or if you don't like me, all right? Right to your face. Okay, then what?
He will not be slack to him that hateth him. He will repay him to his face.
So this is a promise. This is a covenant. This is a contract. This is the deal. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what? What verse?
Verse 11. Thou shalt therefore keep the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which I command thee this day to do them. Wherefore it shall come to pass, if ye hearken to these judgments and keep and do them, that the Lord thy God shall keep unto thee the covenant, the promise, the deal, and the mercy which he sware unto thy fathers. And he will love thee and bless thee and multiply thee. He will also bless the fruit of thy womb and the fruit of thy land, thy corn and thy wine, and thine oil, the increase of thy kine, the flocks of thy sheep in the land which he sware unto thy fathers to give thee.
And this is just the beginning. He's going to heal all your diseases, your sicknesses, infirmities, everything. He's going to give you finances, whatever you need. You'll never go hungry. Now, Sharon, you read the last, 3 verses left in the first chapter of Judges?
Yes.
Okay, huh?
Four.
Okay, read them.
Neither did Naphtali drive out the inhabitants of Beth Shemesh.
Now, here they already are not keeping the commandments of the Lord. And so, of course, they're being batted about like a Spalding golf ball over there now. Worse, their little children are being killed again. They got to keep the commandments of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Get saved. Come to the Savior and then learn how to use the Spirit rather than guns, bullets, and bombs. Then what?
Neither did Naphtali drive out the inhabitants of Beth Shemesh, nor the inhabitants of Beth Anath, but he dwelt among the Canaanites, the inhabitants of the land. Nevertheless, the inhabitants of Beth Shemesh and of Beth Anath became tributaries unto them. And the Amorites forced the children of Dan into the mountain, for they would not suffer them to come down to the valley. But the Amorites would dwell in Mount Heres, in Ajalon, and in Shalbim, yet the hand of the house of Joseph prevailed, so that they became tributaries. And the coast of the Amorites was from the going up to Akrabim, from the rock and upward.
So that's the mistake that the Jews made, is they said, well, instead of driving them out like the Lord told us to, we'll make them, our slaves. We'll let them dig the ditches and let them carry the water and chop the wood. Okay, is that it now?
Yes.
Okay, now, as the firstborn son of God among the many sons of God, his many brothers, Romans 8:29. Okay, read that.
For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren.
Okay, and according to Romans 1:4, what was according to the Spirit of Holiness, is in contrast to the flesh in verse 3. Go ahead, read.
Romans 1:4, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of Holiness by resurrection from the dead.
Yeah, so see, all power in heaven and on earth belongs to the Lord. Okay, now, Sharon, gotta start reading, taking off from where she left off in Deuteronomy.
Thou shalt be blessed above all people.
See, thou shalt be blessed above all people. People wonder why the people that are really of the Lord are being blessed. And sure, we go through persecution, but so do you. Everybody out there is being persecuted. But the people that are not of the Lord, they don't have any consolation. Okay?
Amen.
If you get killed, there's no consolation. You just go straight into hell and then the lake of fire. Then what?
There shall not be male or female barren among you, or among your cattle.
Can you believe that? Nobody will be barren. They'll all have children, and the cattle will all give birth. Okay, then what?
and the Lord will take away from thee all sickness.
That's a fantastic promise, isn't it?
Amen.
That he takes away all sicknesses from you. Okay, then what? But you've got to believe, amen?
Amen.
And serve the Lord. Then what?
And will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt, which thou knowest, upon thee, but will lay them upon all them that hate thee.
Okay, so all you people out there that hate us, you know, when you're getting diseases, like I said before, the people out here in many cities that we've been in that hated us, and even in Los Angeles, those people, all those officers that were against us, that were beating our people up in the prayer rooms and throwing tear gas in, every single one of them are dead now, and they're in hell. Because you don't do that to the Lord and his people, because the Lord lives in his sons and daughters. Amen?
Amen.
So he promises that he will defend us. Go ahead, keep going.
And thou shalt consume all the people which the Lord thy God shall deliver thee. Thine eyes shall have no pity upon them.
So do you know what we do? Is we pray about you. Father God, in the name of Jesus, those people that are troubling us in the Los Angeles area and from Rome, they're all led by Rome and the spirit of Satan. Lord, destroy them. We can't do that. We trust you to do it. Lord, we pray that they'll be saved. But if they will not be saved, Lord, put a stop to them. Warn them, Father, by giving them diseases, infirmities, sicknesses, or take one of them to make them grieve, to make them want to repent. Lord, put the fear of God in them. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I pray. And everyone says amen throughout the entire world that are born of the Spirit Christians. Pray that way. The Lord can do more to destroy our enemies than we ever could. All right, then what else?
Neither shalt thou serve their gods, for that will be a snare unto thee.
Yeah, if you belong to all these religions, you're serving Satan. Then what else?
If thou shalt say in thine heart, these nations are more than I, how can I dispossess them? Thou shalt not be afraid of them, but shalt well remember what the Lord thy God did unto Pharaoh and unto all Egypt, the great temptations which thine eyes saw, and the signs and the wonders and the mighty hand and the stretched out arm whereby the Lord thy God brought thee out.
Okay, so, now I hate to do this, but it's you're going to see another sign and a wonder right now if you'll say this prayer. The Lord will enter into your human body and you'll become a son of God. You'll have the human nature, but you'll have the divine nature in you to overpower the human nature. So say this prayer now and be happy to do so. Say, my Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my filthy sins. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. I know, because your word says so. You can't lie. Your word says that you'll turn no one away that calls on you. Therefore, I know that you have heard me. And I know that you have answered me. And I know that I'm saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Now let's raise your hands and praise and thank the Lord. And if you'd like to have a copy of this program, 429, Sharon will tell you how right now.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas, 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370. That's 479-782-7370, or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
Praise the Lord. This is World Pastor Tony Alamo. Make sure you tune in tomorrow for another program. Until then, keep praising and thanking the Lord. Here I am with J.D. Sumner and myself, and the J.D. Sumner and the Stamps Quartet to sing for you from the Book of Revelation, I, John.
Whoa.
well, and I jumped, saw a mighty number way up in the middle of the air. Well, I jumped, saw a mighty number moving way in the middle of the air. Well, I jumped, saw a mighty number moving well in the middle of the air. I jumped, saw a mighty number moving way in the middle of the air. Well, there were three gates in the east, and there were three gates in the west, and three gates in the north, and three gates in the south, and that made 12 gates to the city, 4 square wide. Hallelujah, come the mighty will. I jumped, saw a mighty number well in the middle of the air. Well, I jumped, saw a mighty number well in the middle of the air. Oh, John declared that he saw a man with 12 bright stars in his right hand. Well, his eyes flashed by like the burning sun. Oh, John got scared and he wanted to run. Well, he wanted to run, but his feet wouldn't go, because he felt the gospel coming like a two-edged sword. Well, he heard a voice and said, John, take a look, read what you see, and then write a book. He saw 12 angels in the east, 12 angels in the west, 12 angels in the north, 12 angels in the south, 48 angels to the city, 4 square wide. Hallelujah, the mighty number, the chance of mighty number, where in the middle of the air, the chance of mighty number, where in the middle of the air.